Just coming up to 25 to 12, and I've got Captain and Tennille with me at the moment. That's what I like to call you. It's Jess and Adam. You won't know we're Captain and Tennille,
no,
are you?
No, idea. Sorry, right. No.
Do it to me one more time. Great big song from the 1970s.
Oh, they were great, Captain.
It's not going to work.
Very dapper, like
very dapper. Very dapper. Yeah. Anyway, but they are also known as Adam and Jess as well from Vision Cruises, and of course the Royal Caribbean as well. So. How's life? How's things? What's it like in terms of the bookings at the moment? People still wanting to get on the ocean waves? Or are they just going on the roads when the rain's coming out?
Yeah, people are still wanting to go. I actually had a call this morning of someone asking them to go in 2 days' time, which, wow. I mean, they can't do, unfortunately, but they still want to go. And obviously, I don't think the weather is helping, isn't it? People wanting to get away and away to nice weather. But we were just saying the UK season's winding down a little bit now and people are looking ahead to 2022 and a little bit further afield, and with the new travel restrictions and things coming into place, hopefully. So, yeah, it's looking positive.
We started to Bernie earlier, and we were on about, you know, because we knew you guys were coming in, as you do every couple of weeks, and you were saying about when the weather's like this. Go, put your question where you've got it.
Well, I was thinking, I, as you know, went on the Queen Mary 2 and we had force 11 gales, which is not an experience I would like to repeat, clinging to the side of the boat. But I was just wondering, what kind of things do you have to do if it's rough out there? And it can be.
When the weather's like this,
what do you do on board?
Go on.
What do you do?
Let's go to Adam. Go on, Adam.
The brilliant thing about cruise ships is the technology and stuff's changing all the time. So we've got, for instance, 4 ships that are built for all weathers. So they've got retractable roofs so that if it's still raining, you can still enjoy that pool experience. You've got solariums that are undercover, so you can still get to experience that. And then you've got all the activities that's actually on the ship itself.
Yeah.
And a lot of our ships have got what we call a Royal Promenade, which is like
It looks like we've got some military aircraft flying at the moment,
for the RAF from Anglesey, just having to fly past.
Sorry about that.
So we've got, a lot of our ships have got the Royal Promenade. So what that essentially is, it's like a street in the middle of the ship where you've got different bars, you've got different restaurants, you've got different activity venues that are all off of that as well.
Right.
So you feel like you're on that kind of land-based holiday.
That's
anyway.
That's it, isn't it?
So there's always something going on, and you get like a daily cruise planner on all your sailings, and that's got day by day, hour by hour, all different activities, different venues, what's going on. So there's always something for you, even if it is a bit rainy and miserable. Outside,
there's always something. Jess mentioned that about 2022. That is, you know, I mean, it's still a little bit of an unknown, because obviously, and the reason it's an unknown is because of the circumstances that we've been in for the past 18 months.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, I'm pretty confident once it gets to January, I think it's just going to go ballistic. Everybody's going to want a piece of it. And you're going to be running 8 ships in Europe in 2022. So go on, I'll give you 10 seconds, name them all.
I can definitely do it. I've just taken a note of them all. We've got Odyssey of the Seas from Rome. We've got Rhapsody from Israel. We've got Brilliance of the Seas from Ravenna. We've got Allure of the Seas from Barcelona. Vision of the Seas from Barcelona. Anthem of the Seas from the UK, and then we've got Voyager, which is sailing from Copenhagen and Stockholm, and then Jewel out of Amsterdam.
So you've probably just got them in the 10 seconds. Well done, yeah.
Off the seas.
Very smooth.
So, I mean, when you say they're going to be in Europe, give us an example of a typical European cruise.
It very much varies on where you sail from, but for instance, if you're sailing out of Barcelona, take Allure of the Seas, for instance, you'd be visiting places such as Parma, Marseille, you'll do Civitavecchia, which is for Rome, and then you'll touch on Florence and Pisa as well. So there's quite a few different areas if you want to do like the central Med, or you can go further down and do like the Greek Isles, maybe touch into Turkey. So there's quite a lot of different options, or you can do the Baltics as well and go up. So
that's the thing that is the big thing that I like about the whole cruise concept, is that, you know, you mentioned Pisa there, to actually go and see that bit of history, which, you know, obviously I know you could do that, you could fly over there, but then you've got to go through all the process of, right, we need to do this and we need to do that, where you think, right, the ship's going to be here, we get off and we go and do that, and that's going to be the big advantage of it, isn't it, Jess?
Yeah, definitely. And there's so many shore excursions out there as well, either through the cruise line or through independent companies, where you can. And sometimes you've only got a day there. You want to make the most of the time. You don't want to be wandering around trying to plan your day. Mm-hmm. You pick an excursion that you want to do, which touches on specific things that you want to see, for example, in Pisa, and it's all sorted for you. And then you've got someone who knows the area, a local guide who can tell you things that you wouldn't be able to find out yourself as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So
now,
you,
The interesting thing, because I think we touched on this last time we were talking, because, you know, the perception is moving, because certainly if you were to go back 25 years ago, people think, oh, cruising, yeah, that's something that people do when they retire, and it just ain't the case anymore.
Yeah.
Because you have an interesting term called multi-generational cruising.
Yep.
Who'd like to explain that so we fully understand it and give us an example of how multi-generational cruising functions?
Yeah, so that is, it pretty much sums us up as a brand for what we offer. We pride ourselves pretty much on that there's something on board that will tick everybody's box. Mm. So whether that be grandparents taking grandkids, so the grandkids want to be entertained, they want the activities, so they want to be entertained in the kids' clubs, or they might want to do some bumper cars or different activities that are on board.
Right.
But then for the grandparents, while the kids are doing all that, what do they want to do? So they'll want to relax, they might want to go to the spa, they might want to spend some time in the adult-only solarium, they might want to book themselves a speciality restaurant and go and do their own thing. So it kind of gives everybody a bit of an individual holiday, but all together. Mm. So you still feel like you've got that space and you're not all waiting on each other to do different things. One person might go off and do one activity and that's not for you. Mm. And that's why I like it so much. And we cruise with my nephew, family and stuff like that, so that you can actually experience something for everyone, really.
Yeah, no, I get it, because, I mean, it is the thing, you know, again, using, you know, a non-cruise holiday as an example of this. If you think, right, well, what are we doing tonight? And everybody wants to do something different. And everybody can do something different in that environment because you're all still in the same place. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it could be somewhere else, you might think, oh, well, we'll have to do, we'll compromise and we'll do that with you tonight. So it is, it's very good in that sense, really. And I suppose when you talk about multi-generational cruising, there's the crossover into the family cruising with that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so we're a big family brand, and that's what we're all about. Our ships are set up to give everybody a great holiday experience. And cruising with families is really big, and it's really popular, and that's why our ships are focused around offering the best experience that you can at sea to keep everybody entertained, so that they want to book year and year again. Because like you say, that perception is sometimes it's what you do when you retire, but it's absolutely not the case.
Yeah,
families, there's people now that are starting as soon as they're infants, and they go on cruise after cruise after cruise, and then once their parents go off and do their own thing, then they carry on as well. So you can see that natural progression.
I think what it is, because, you know, if you go back, well, certainly when I was a kid, I think it likes the QE2 as being like the elite kind of, you know, the liners at the time, and they just looked like ships, you know what I mean? They look like ships that, you know, went to war, if you like, you know, years ago. But now ships, it's a completely different thing. And I mean, they're just these cities on the sea, really, almost, aren't they? And that must be where, I think once the ship design started to change, that must have been when the appeal must have grown, I would have thought.
Yeah, because now the ships are designed for younger families and younger couples, and they're designed around what they would want off a land-based holiday. So instead of, like you said, people trying to compromise and, oh, okay, this hotel's in this area and we can do this, this and this and this, but this hotel's in this area and I want to do that. Well, you've got your ship, which floats around. It is like a floating resort.
Yeah.
And you've got everything in one place designed around your family, pretty much.
Yeah.
You've got your slides, like your bumper cars, your kids' clubs still, if your kids like to go in the kids' clubs. They've got babysitting services, nursery services. So if mum and dad want to go out for a late night meal, they can do, and the kids are looked after, and you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So it is, you can tailor it around exactly what you want.
Well, just before we talk about the bumper cars, because I can't let you bring that up and talk about it. I would imagine, certainly from a design concept point of view, and activities that go on a ship, it must be a never ending cycle of work for the people who are doing that, because you're thinking, right, we've achieved something marvellous here, but we need to kind of go to the next level. So it's that's a never-ending job, isn't it? Looking for the experience, the enhance the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's consistent, I would say, across the whole cruise industry. We as a brand are always at the forefront of what's new, what can we put on a ship, what can we challenge, what's bold. Mm-hmm. And we love to take ideas as well. So we do take ideas of what to put on cruise ships from like our loyal guests that are on board and think, actually, this is a crazy idea, but let's roll with it, see if we can make it work. And some of the stuff that you see on the ships is you would never expect it to be there.
I was astonished. I've been looking on TikTok since we last spoke and seeing some of your ships on TikTok, people posting things. And I'm like, dear God, is that on a boat?
Yeah.
No,
it's
that's
amazing.
It. Interesting. Yeah, you mentioned there's been a bit of an update on the actual travel, the green list.
Well, we were just having a conversation off air before, and the very, very strong rumour that they're scrapping the red and the green and the amber and whatever pink.
Right, okay.
You know, raspberry, I suppose
that couldn't come too soon for you guys, I suppose. No.
Exactly, yeah. I think it'll just install a little bit of confidence, because if people see, oh, well, that's going to an amber list, it's kind of in the back of your mind, should I even be going to that country? Even though it's fine to go to, and especially if you're vaccinated and you've done all your tests and everything, there's not a problem with doing that, but...
Yeah.
It's still in the back of some people's minds, like, oh, I'm a little bit wary of booking a holiday there because it's on that list. Yeah. So,
and people don't like to fill the passenger locator forms in, because they're not the easiest thing to do. I mean, I don't mind filling forms in, but they are ridiculous. And then you can't put your partner on it, or the family members, and everyone gets confused.
It's a lot of hassle, isn't it, for some people? So,
tell me if this exists, and if not, I'll allow you to go and put it to these people who design these. is there any way that they do like a submersible vessel that goes on a little bit of a submarinal kind of route, where you can go, is anybody doing that in the world, where you have like a submarine, but a viewing submarine, where they go off and you say, right, we're going to go under the seas a bit?
Not yet, but Adam, do you want to suggest that to your bosses?
Yeah, you can.
Sounds quite good.
They do that
in Dubai, don't they? I understand they have some kind of submarine thing going on.
They've got like little pods and stuff. Pods and that. I'm thinking more
of getting out in the middle of the Atlantic and then going and have a look at the Titanic. You see, like, you know what I mean?
That's all we need. Basnet takes off from the side of one of your ships, and then we've got the RAF
rescuing. All that
going on. You're pressing the wrong button.
Just in conclusion, though, I've got to mention it: bumper cars, circus classes, entertainment. Where did this list is endless? Tell us about some of that, if you would, please.
Well, on some of the newer ships, they've got what they call the C-plex, so it's like a big, massive. I don't know, it's like how would you describe it? Like an arena kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a multi-functioning space. It's like a sports court through the day. You can do roller skating in there. We have bumper cars in there, basketball, aerial acrobat lessons and that kind of stuff. So a lot of these spaces that you find are really transformative. So they do multiple stuff in the same place, so that it's always constantly changing.
Aerial acrobatics.
Aerial acrobatics.
Can we get Mr. B up there?
Oh, yeah. I can roll with that.
Good money from the ceiling on a piece of string.
I've always fancied doing all that. I've seen The Greatest Showman as well, so I know a bit about it. It's got to be worth doing. Listen, guys, it's always good to get you in. Give us a little bit of a resource. People, obviously, got the Vision Cruises.
Yep.
Tell us about little things where people can find out not only about the services that you provide, but all these wonderful ships that's going to be going around Europe. So we'll go with you first, Jess.
Yeah, everything's on our website, so visioncruise.co.uk. If you want to give us a call and ask any more information, it's 0800 655 6601.
Yes. And the ships,
I would agree with Jess. You've got all the ships all loaded in the website, loads of different video content as well for you to really get a feel for exactly what these ships offer. So that's the destination to be, to check out all the different ships that we've got on offer.
Tremendous. Great stuff. Thank you very much indeed for coming in, Adam and Jess, giving us the lowdown on our cruising holidays. We like to do that every couple of weeks, when we'll be doing it again in a couple of weeks' time from now. So thank you very much indeed, guys.
Thank you.